Lake Effect continues on WUWM with more of Project Milwaukee State of Upheaval. I'm Bonnie North. All week we've been trying to put the remarkable political events of the last year into perspective. And on today's Project Milwaukee State of Upheaval, we're asking a big question. What was the course Wisconsin was on before 2011, and what effect did the year have on that course? In other words, so what? George Lightburn and Jack Norman have different reads on the results. Lightburn is the president of the Generally Conservative Wisconsin Policy Research Institute and was secretary of the state's Department of Administration under Governors Tommy Thompson and Scott McCallum. Norman is the director of research at the Generally Liberal Institute for Wisconsin's Future and a former business and local news reporter at the Milwaukee Journal and Journal Sentinel. They both joined Mitch Tyke in the Lake Effect studio, and Lightburn gave his assessment on the path Wisconsin was on prior to the November 2010 election.
Well, we have come off a decade that was sandwiched, but we had a recession sandwich. So coming into the decade, we had a mild recession, coming out, of course, a much more extreme recession. I think the number that jumps out to me is that our spending over that decade went up by 50%, a little more than 50%. Our revenues in that decade only went up about 15%. And what was the difference was made up with additional federal money that came in the form of stimulus, borrowing to a large extent. We saw our borrowing go through the roof. So what led up to the election was, I think, an unsustainable level of spending.
Jack Norman?
Wisconsin was struggling going into the election, mainly because of the national economy, of course, with the big recession. I agree with George that there was an imbalance in the sense between the revenue and spending, and we were actually making progress on that by increasing the revenue that we were getting in Wisconsin. In 2009, the legislature made a number of progressive moves on taxation in order to try to provide the kind of revenue that, in fact, was needed. Schools were the most obvious example where they had been increasingly underfunded during the past decade. And so in terms of the overall situation in Wisconsin, we were dealing not only with a struggling economy nationally, but with the real serious beginning of a degradation in some of our key infrastructure like public education.
Well, so then the obvious question is, given everything that has happened in the past year, how do you assess the course the state is on today? I know, George Lightburn, you have written in the past that this is the new normal. What does the new normal represent to you?
Well, the new normal is finding a different balance between the public and private sector. And the new normal also it probably will involve the public sector having to articulate the value that it's providing to the public, much more so than we've seen in the past. Jack talks about education and how significantly education was, in his estimation, underfunded. We've seen in the Milwaukee public school system fringe benefits coming into this year at 73% of salaries. It's hard to justify to the public that a system that has that kind of a fringe benefit package that you don't see anywhere else, 73% of salaries, is an underfunded system. So, but now, can the public school system demonstrate value? Absolutely.
Well, right. I mean, because there's an obvious death spiral question to be asked, and that is if the public school system doesn't demonstrate its value, it gets funded less, and if it gets funded less, it has less ability to do things to demonstrate its value.
We actually have a better example in the charter schools. Charter schools are public schools that have a charter which says this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to provide, and if after 5 years the charter school is not meeting its commitment, it goes away. The charter school, and several of them every year, they tried something, they tried an innovation, didn't work, and it goes away. We have to have that same kind of approach throughout our educational system where there is an obligation to demonstrate that you're providing value.
Jack Norman, what is your estimation of the new normal?
Oh, I don't think we're in a new normal yet. We're still in this very heavy transition period. All we have to do is look at the extraordinary inequality of income and wealth in America and in Wisconsin, which is widely acknowledged regardless of a political perspective. If this is a new normal, you know, God help us, because this is a terrible situation to become permanent. So I don't think we have a new normal. I think we do have a transition. And I think that there is a growing realization that we can fund a lot of the things we need by getting some of the wealth that's accumulated at the very, very top. There's a very deep sense that there's an unfairness in the tax system. And I think that's critical to address, both in terms of reassuring people about the value of citizenship, but also in terms of providing revenues to make sure we've got well-funded everything from public schools to bridges.
You're walking right up to the precipice of saying tax increase without saying the words tax increase.
Well,
this
sure.
This is what you're talking
tax
about.
Tax increase, definitely. We need a tax increase, and the way to obviously begin this is people talk about the 99% and the 1%. The 1%, or I would rather go more like 5%, have gathered to themselves the overwhelming quantity of increased wealth in this country over the past 20, 30 years. Tax rates are at near historic lows for the wealthiest. And so absolutely, I do think there should be increases. We definitely need it both to reassert fairness as well as to generate some revenue. And I'm not going to say that that's going to save the world. But as a key first step, additional taxing on the top 1% or the top 5% is absolutely essential.
George Lightbourne, what about the 99% versus 1% argument and how it plays out in Wisconsin?
Well, I'm not sure that Wisconsin is interested in basing its tax policy on something that was written on a piece of plywood at Zuccotti Park in New York. The tax policy is inextricably linked to jobs. And we've done the analysis that is much deeper than just looking at there is a growing wealth gap in the country. And in Wisconsin as well. But right now what people are focused on is jobs. And there is a definite relationship between tax levels, both taxing income and taxing investment, and the creation of jobs. It's been demonstrated by economists over and over and over. So yeah, it's a nice – it makes nice conversation material to say 1% versus 99%. And we've done polling that shows that even conservatives would tend to favor some sort of a tax increase on the wealthy, mostly because it's not them. Most people aren't wealthy, and they want someone else to pick up the tab. But when you're looking at the creation of jobs, about the worst thing you could do would be to withdraw more money from the private sector.
Well, I just have to go back a second because George said something that surprised me considerably when he talked about this wide agreement about the relation between taxes and jobs, and he didn't say what that relation was. I'm surprised that he said that because I've read a lot of stuff and I've done a lot of number crunching myself, and high taxes are not correlated with poor job performance. Low taxes are not correlated with good job performance. I would say that the evidence that I've seen and all the studies I've seen suggest that it's not really a causation or a correlation one way or the other. Job creation comes through a very, very large variety of issues, and the level of taxes is a very, very small part of that.
I guess this is the argument that goes that if we look back at the Reagan years, when employment was at a higher level, taxes were still at a higher level as well.
Well, we've seen over and over we've done the modeling that demonstrates the relationship between investment and taxes. We can look to our neighbors to the north, where Canada is on a glide path to cut its corporate tax rate in half. Why are they doing that? Because they've seen the relationship between jobs and taxes and investment. And you might not like that. You might not like corporations seemingly getting a tax break, but they are the creators of jobs, and everyone is pulling the rope in the same direction these days, advocating jobs. And quite frankly, the number one thing that has been done coming out of state government as far as the creation of jobs had nothing to do with the special session, had nothing to do with tax policy. It was to provide a balanced budget and to provide some certainty to the business community moving forward.
is a balanced budget in and of itself a victory? And how do you balance the impact of a balanced budget against the other things that people seem to say they want?
Balanced budget is important, obviously. In Wisconsin, it's a constitutional requirement, and even if it weren't, it's something that we want, and we certainly want long-term economic stability. So there's no question about that. On the other hand, the absolute number one primary economic issue today is jobs, period. And so from my perspective, we would be well served to focus on jobs, number one, and deal with the longer-term economic issues second, though, again, as I have said several times, I think we can do both of them together because I think with some additional tax revenue that would not impact on the job side, that provides us the ability to do the things that we need to improve the economy now. But right now, there is an urgency about jobs, and so long-term improvements in our bottom line, if they have to be delayed a bit, they will have to be delayed a bit.
This seems to go back to your argument that the things that government does are going to have to do a better job of explaining either why they do them or why they're good at doing them?
Absolutely. That's going to be the new vocabulary. That is part of the new normal, that people aren't going to take on faith the fact that if I invest – if I put more dollars into the government sector, I'm going to see productivity coming out. People don't accept that anymore. And this is not a left and a right kind of an issue. This is a broad development in government. And it's – quite frankly, it's going to be a challenge for the public sector moving forward. But it – again, it's one that the public sector can adapt to.
I agree with George totally in terms of this imperative on public services and demonstrating their wealth. We can see it, for example, right now in Milwaukee Public Schools where there are – some initiatives to close some programs and move some others around. And this is exactly what needs to be done. You can't just rest on what you've got. And so hard decisions have to be made. And in the case of Milwaukee Public Schools, this means closing some schools that people think really ought to stay open. So I agree with him. And I do think that this is the sort of thing that is taking place in government right now. So the only thing I want to emphasize is that this – what George is calling for, I think, is happening right now.
Well, but do you think – let's say that the public sector does a better job of those things and there is still a revenue – you know, a budget shortfall. Does the light bulb suddenly go off in people's minds and say, okay, well, now I get it. And I'm willing to accept higher taxes because government has demonstrated that these things that we want it to do, they're doing, and they need more money to do them.
Well, we've seen, for example, in school districts that present a referendum, they think they need to spend more. They make their case to the public, and sometimes they prevail, and sometimes they don't. But I think that the general citizenry of Wisconsin is cognizant of the economy, the current overall economy, and is very reluctant at this point to support taking more money out of their pocket and providing it to the public sector.
Well, George's own research now, you know, I look at your polls, George, and I know that they in fact say the same thing as the polls everywhere, that 60-70% of the people in Wisconsin say they would support higher taxes on wealth.
Actually, on a more germane question, we asked people not just do you think would you like to pay more taxes, but would you pay more taxes if you were assured that you would get more services, or would you support paying lower taxes, understanding you would get fewer services? It is lower taxes, even when we provide it in that value statement always prevail.
Though one wonders which particular services the people would volunteer that they would like to do without.
Yeah, well, that is the people. sometimes the people can be wrong. Let me mention one other thing, though. And I know that this is the season of the recall. But there is a message that will come out of the recall election that will resonate for both conservatives and liberals throughout the state. And that is, I think everyone would admit that Scott Walker made a very bold policy statement in his budget. And if he doesn't prevail the recall process, I think the message that will resonate for Wisconsin is big, bold policy initiatives probably is not a place where an elected official is going to want to go. And I think that that runs a little counter to the Wisconsin tradition.
Jack Norman, is the message of a recall that Wisconsinites prefer change to be minuscule versus bold?
I don't think that's the conclusion at all. I think that in the case of Governor Walker, he has made some spectacularly boneheaded decisions. There's very little that a governor can do to boost an economy or to create jobs. There isn't that much a president can do. But leaders like presidents, governors can do a lot of harm, and I think that's what the governor has done. The extraordinary cuts that he's put through in the variety of ways, he's just taken a whole lot of money out of the economy, which is the worst thing you could do at a time when the economy is struggling. The message, I think, out of the recall, assuming that the governor is defeated, is people saw through the bad economics that he was instituting and said, no. So it's not a flat-out rejection of major change. It's simply saying that the changes that this guy has put through are things we think are real dangerous for the Wisconsin economy.
It seems like a major assumption at this point, but let me ask you this in closing. Are we in Wisconsin going to be in a state of perpetual recall at this point?
Boy, I hope not. And even though I strongly support the recall process and the recall efforts, I have to confess to a little bit of discomfort. I would hate for us to get in a situation where every time you win an election, you're guaranteed to have to win a second election. It's sort of like, the United States won its independence in the first war with Britain, and then we had to fight another war with them. And that's, you should only have to win once. So I do think that this is an extraordinary situation. That to me is the downside of the recall process. And I have enough faith in people in Wisconsin that we're going to see it now, and it's not going to become a permanent part of our politics.
I think there's a danger that it will become permanent. The hyper-partisans on both sides love the contentiousness of this environment. And if Scott Walker weren't there – and the fact that somebody tripped across this recall mechanism to the hyper-partisans, it doesn't get any better than this. They aren't going away. I think that if it is to be part of our continuing landscape here – it'll probably depend as much as anything on the state of the economy. When people are hurting with their incomes and jobs, it's ripe for these kinds of developments.
George Lightborn, Jack Norman, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jack Norman is the research director at the Institute for Wisconsin's Future. George Lightborn is president of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. They spoke with Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke. Who is ALEC and why should we care? The Center for Media and Democracy in Madison says the group has too much secretive influence on legislation. Lake Effect has that conversation when Project Milwaukee's State of Upheaval returns in just a moment on WUWM.